And from the very beginning, men and women have recognized that they are not the answer to their own question. They've struggled to find the answer. And in every culture and in every time, men and women have posited or declared the existence of a power or a being or a force that is so much beyond them, so much above them, and is the source of all life and is the creative source of the universe. That's just part of the history of human life. You and I can go to any culture at any time and find that such an effort has indeed taken place. What is the case, though, is that for all cultures and all times, that divine image is removed, is far away, is inaccessible. The feast we celebrate today, in a sense, turns all of that upside down and says to us, the source of life, the power of life, the foundation of life is accessible to us in the incarnation by which God takes human form. And that from that moment, all that is human is now linked to the divine. All that is of our life becomes tied to the life of God. In telling this story, and the story is found in only two of the evangelists, Matthew and Luke, in telling the story, the evangelists find a variety of ways to express the truth of God come among us. In many ways, in those four chapters, the first two chapters of Matthew and the first two chapters of Luke, the story is told a number of times, every time differently, and yet every time the same. There are probably a dozen reflections that we could take from the gospel passage this evening, and I'm going to suggest two. When you read the scriptures, I think it's important for all of us to recognize that the author of the text needs to be given the credit of being at least as intelligent as the reader. So we give the author a lot of credit, that when the author chooses a word or chooses an image, the author does that for a purpose, for a reason. There are three times in the story that Luke makes reference to the child wrapped in strips of linen, in swaddling clothes. He makes the reference as a narrator. He makes the reference through the voice of the angel. And later on, he will make the reference through the voice of the shepherds. Not only is the child wrapped in bands of linen, but the child rests in an animal's manger. Those two factors are important. They're important for Luke and they're important for the story. What Luke wants us to understand is that the beginning of the story is also found in the end of the story. And the end of the story is found in its beginning. For at the end of the story, this infant grown to full manhood will once again be wrapped in linen bands. This time not placed in a manger, this time placed in a tomb. And very deliberately, Luke wants us to not forget that this child comes for a purpose, that there is a mission, that there is a reason. The second item is the manger. And the manger is a direct reference to the third verse of the first chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. Through the words of Isaiah the prophet, the Lord God says to Israel, "An ox knows its master, a donkey knows its Lord's manger. But you do not understand me, and you choose not to look for me." What Luke is saying is that because of the incarnation, because of God now in human flesh, we are able to find the Lord's manger. We are able to understand him. We are able to search for him. That the criticism placed against the people of Israel by Isaiah is now wiped away. That in the physical presence, now it's possible for us to search out the living God. Now it's possible for us to find and to understand the living God. What Luke is saying to us in those images is that in this moment, God is no longer absent from you. God is no longer distant. God is not an idea. God is not a theory. God is not a force. God is not a power. God is found in human flesh. God is as close to you as your own body. God is as tangible as your own flesh. And that from that moment on, human flesh, the human body, the human person becomes an image, an icon of the very presence of God. And so what men and women have struggled with from the very beginning, this quest to reach out and to somehow grab onto that source of life, now becomes very easy, now becomes very immediate, now becomes up close. And that's what we celebrate tonight. That truth. And the truth is not an idea, the truth is a person. We celebrate the very person of God present in human life. And the corollary of that is that wherever there is human life, there is the face of God. Wherever the human heart beats, there is the image of the living God. wherever human life exists, there is the presence of God. That from that moment on, from that incarnational moment, it is no longer possible to separate the human person from the divine. As we gather tonight, as we gather in quiet, in semi-darkness, as we gather to reflect, to pray, to be quiet, to contemplate, we pray that we might grasp more deeply in our own lives the power of the truth that is present in Jesus Christ. The power of the truth that is alive in Him. The power of the truth that is person. And our invitation, or our call, or the invitation offered to us to identify with Him. That's the mystery of the night. And as we are here tonight, and as we prepare for the celebrations of tomorrow and the season, let us not forget what undergirds all that celebrating, what undergirds all that festivity. The simple truth that now we can search for and we can understand the person of God